we have with us Troy Opperle, and we're going to talk about his research in enzymes, and you can look his company up. It's Enzymology, and you'll find lots of interesting information there. How are you, Troy?
Great, thank you.
Thanks for coming on.
You're welcome.
So before we get started, tell us a little bit about what your company does and a little bit of science behind it, if you can, and just a little bit about you and where they can find you.
Sure. The name of the company is Enzymology Research Center, and we are basically do three things. The first, we're a contract manufacturer of enzymes, which means that we supply probably 30 to 40 different companies around the world their enzyme products. And then we also are a raw material supplier, so that means we source all the raw material enzymes that go into those, so primarily from Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last part of that, we did research with live cell, dry cell blood work for almost 10 years, gathering information just on the specifics of what these enzymes do in the human body.
Can you speak up just a little bit?
Sure.
I can't hear you. I have to, like, really focus to hear you. So what do you mean, dry cell research?
Well, another term for that is the oxidative stress test. So It's basically looking at a sample of blood, letting it dry, and as far as the patterns that emerge or show up as a result of that, you can read those and interpret them as far as what's happening inside the body.
Okay. Now, why would someone even want to know about enzymes, Troy?
Wow. I suppose when I started 13 years ago, I knew absolutely nothing about enzymes, never heard the term before. And since then, I mean, I've come to find out that, I mean, that's why I suppose what I do, just because I understand how important they are. So people ask, well, who would benefit from knowing or taking enzymes? And I tell them, well, there isn't a single human being or person on the planet that wouldn't benefit in some way, shape, or form by taking an enzyme. So, on the simplest level or explanation, I always tell people that every single function that happens inside of your body, whether you're aware of it or not, is governed by an enzyme. So our thinking process, our breathing process, obviously our digestive process, I mean, there isn't an exception to that. So, I mean, there are over 5,000 known enzymes that perform functions in the human body. And, there would be no life without enzymes.
Yeah, they're definitely the key to life. I mean, most people think, and this is specifically why I want to have you on my show tonight, most people think that enzymes only have to do with digestion.
Right.
And it's so far from that, so I'd like for you to pack this show full of everything you can possibly think of about enzymes, because it's so much more than life, more than that. It's the key to everything that happens to them, as well as diseases and cancers.
Right.
So, first of all, for someone that doesn't have any known health issues, I guess we can talk about digestion and how they would benefit from that, what kind of enzymes would benefit digestion, what kind of cofactors they would need, what is a cofactor, and why would they need it, and just give us a start there, if you don't mind.
Sure. And a quick definition, and I always like to go back to this, because people always refer to enzymes as a protein molecule that has an electrical charge. Now, scientists have been able to remove that electrical charge and put it on top of another molecule. So it's really, the protein is simply a vehicle for the energy to do its work in the human body.
Mm-hmm.
So my definition of an enzyme is really the energy. And there's a source of unlimited energy. There are a couple things that we'll talk about that will impact, you know, slow down or stop or kill enzymes.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as you're aware of those things, you have to realize that an enzyme can perform its function infinitely. It has an unlimited source of energy. So from that perspective, I go, it can, I mean, that's why it's so prolific in the human body, right, because of that energy. And that energy is yet to be tapped into. Scientists, one of the remaining enigmatic or mysteries that scientists have yet to you know, discover what's really, you know, where that comes from.
Mm-hmm. How would someone know if they had a need for just the digestive enzymes? What would be some symptoms? And let me just say this for my listening audience. Troy is not a medical doctor. Neither am I. Don't take this information and run home and do it by yourself without consulting your physician or someone that knows. We're providing you with information to help you have make an intelligent decision about your health and your health issues. So I just want to make that and make sure neither one of us go to jail for practicing medicine tonight.
Appreciate that.
I don't want to go to jail for practicing medicine.
So I'm going to talk probably and relate back to one thing that I refer to as the enzyme pyramid.
Mm-hmm.
And this is probably the most single most important concept. If people understand this, then they can relate to enzymes and really get the big picture. So the enzyme pyramid is divided into three parts. So the lower portion of the pyramid are the food enzymes, and those are the enzymes that we take in on a daily basis in our food. So enzymes are found in any type of raw food, whether it's a raw fruit, vegetable, or meat. As long as you don't cook it, the enzymes are going to be present in that food.
Let me ask you a question right there for my listening audience.
Yes.
If they cook their food over a certain temperature, they're not getting any of those enzymes, are they?
Exactly.
So it's important, if you have a health issue, a cancer or a heart disease, it's important that they provide themselves with living foods or some kind of supplement, right?
Absolutely. I mean, if you have been diagnosed with some type of terminal disease, a lot of people turn to clinics that are outside of this country, whether it's in Europe or Mexico. And those clinics all have very similar things in common. The first thing they do is they take you off cooked processed foods and put you on a 100% raw food diet. And then the second thing that they do is that they'll supplement with large doses of digestive and therapeutic enzymes.
What's the difference, Troy, in digestive and systemic or proteolytic enzymes?
Well,
I got you distracted off your pyramid. I'm sorry.
Well, I kind of go back to the fact of when you take them and how they work. Because primarily we talked about most people know enzymes through digestion, and you take the enzymes, digestive enzymes, with your food. So as you begin to eat your food, you know, especially if it's cooked and or processed, you take the enzymes with that. The enzymes are going to be present in your system at that time to act on, break down, and digest that food for you. And that's their primary function, and they pretty much stay inside of your digestive tract. Now, systemic or proteolytic enzymes act in a very, very different way, and you take those away from food, so you want to make sure that your stomach is empty. So we'll usually suggest or recommend that people wait 1 to 2 hours after they eat, and then they'll take the proteolytic systemic enzymes. So what happens then, the enzymes are free to travel through the stomach. There's nothing there that they're going to act on. They're not going to get sidetracked, basically. So they'll go through the stomach, and then they're absorbed through the intestinal or gut wall, and then they're able to find themselves out in the bloodstream, and then they can travel freely through your circulatory system.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we see the word systemic, just simply meaning that it'll flow through your whole system. So it's actually able to reach all of your muscles, tissues, organs, you know, via the circulatory system.
And are they disease specific?
The enzymes?
Mm-hmm.
No.
How does that work?
Again, it's kind of, there are some things that basic things that a lot of people are not aware of, but it's when you look at the fact that when we started cooking and processing our foods, and obviously we don't chew our foods either, that's a huge part of the digestive process that is being missed and overlooked today. So, well, you know, we'll chew on it a couple times and swallow it. The body simply does not have enough time to digest and break that food down completely. So what ends up happening is partially digested food particles end up being absorbed into the bloodstream. Now, your body doesn't know that it's undigested food. It simply reacts in a way much like it was a poison. So the body will immediately produce white blood cells and try to clean that up and get rid of it and get it back to, you know, some type of a balance. So, and those food particles, I mean, there are a number of different names for them, but floating immune complexes or circulating immune complexes, these are things that just are traveling through your system that your body is forced to deal with on a daily basis.
So what is the difference? What will a proteolytic enzyme do on an empty stomach that it won't do if you eat it with food. I guess what I'm getting to is it eats up plaque, it can eat up cancer, and stop metastases in some cases. So tell us a little bit about that, because I know that the most of the listening world has no idea the value of these enzymes,
right,
in treating disease. And I get so many emails and so many letters asking me, what can I do? I have lung cancer, I have colon cancer, I have diabetes with, you know, clots in my legs, and heart disease. How would they treat this, and what would be the importance of vitamin and minerals? And if you could just elaborate on that a little bit, that would be great.
Okay. I mean, the human body is primarily a protein organism, so that's why we look at proteolytic or proteases. Proteases simply mean those are enzymes that act on and digest specific proteins. So, and again, because the body's mostly protein, that's why you'll see, and this is, we'll try to clarify this too. If you look at a digestive enzyme, usually the number one ingredient in a digestive enzyme is protease. And that's simply because, especially here in America, we eat a lot of protein. So in order to digest and break that protein down, protease is going to be found and is usually the number one ingredient in a digestive enzyme. Now, on the other side of the story here, with the systemic or proteolytic enzymes, that's what they end up doing over here is they're more specific, and we'll get into that, some specific names of proteolytic enzymes that do very specific things. And the wave or the future are going to be more with those types of enzymes that act on and do very, very specific things rather than just a general protease that will digest any kind of protein.
Mm-hmm.
So, but getting back to your question, so once these proteolytic enzymes go through the digestive system and are absorbed into the bloodstream, then we'll look at a number of things. So the first thing that we had the opportunity to look at in the blood, those are simply going to be your white blood cells, you know, your main immune defense mechanism. So if we look at those, macrophages are the white blood cells that travel freely throughout the blood system. They're like little Pac-Men that'll digest and break down anything that doesn't belong in the body, any kind of foreign invader. So if we look at, and neutrophils are the number, there's more, a higher percentage of neutrophils than are any other type of macrophage or another way to say that. I mean, they kind of break them down into whether they have granules or agranular. So there's when you look at them under a microscope, that's very apparent. So they move and look very much like little Pac-Men. So, and some of the highest concentrations of enzymes in the human body are found inside of the white blood cells. So
interesting. I didn't realize that.
So
it's logical, I guess. I just never thought about it.
Yeah, because it's fascinating when you see it under a microscope. So you'll see this white blood cell come upon, let's say, an undigested fat or sugar. It'll engulf it and ingest it. Now, I always thought, well, how does this, what's the function, or how does this white blood cell get rid of that particular foreign, you know, invader? Well, it does that because of the high concentration of enzymes found inside of it. So it's very much like us. I mean, like if we eat something, our enzymes will digest and break it down and get rid of it. Well, it's just on a much smaller scale. All of your white blood cells do the exact same thing. And studies show, and this is one of the most important things in regards to any kind of disorder or dis-ease in the body, is the fact that proteolytic enzymes will increase the activity of these enzymes anywhere between 7 to 10 times.
Really?
So, like, if you were and one of the things I have to tell people, like, when you go in and have your blood,
speak up just a little bit.
When you go in and have your blood work done, there are two different types of blood work. There's the quantitative blood work that they tell you, yes, you have so many white blood cells, yes, you have so many red blood cells, and all that's wonderful. But as far as the qualitative version of that, you never get to see that. And that's what the live cell, drive cell blood work is all about. You actually get to physically look at, because I go, you could have the right number of white blood cells, but if they're dormant and just sitting there and not doing anything, what your body is truly not benefiting from having those around.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at, like somebody will ingest a proteolytic enzyme, and within 30 minutes, 45 minutes, you can actually see the activity of the white blood cells increasing. You'll see the white blood cells start moving around at a very rapid pace. It's like suddenly they were energized or given a jolt of energy, and they're out moving around doing what they should be doing.
How would one know if that was their problem? That they even that they had enough white blood cells, but it wasn't working efficiently or effectively. How would you know?
Well, I mean, I think that goes back to just like you being in touch with your physical body and knowing that. I mean, if you got sick every couple of months, I mean, your body is telling you that something is out of balance, right? Your immune mm-hmm. system is not being able to handle or cope with whatever is coming at it. So I would just look at the overall health of the organism. So I mean, if you're not doing well and you're battling different sicknesses or illnesses on an ongoing basis, I go, it's just simply something's out of balance.
Okay.
So I mean, there's aside from doing, you know, this type of blood test, which I mean, you could certainly have done, then you can actually look at it and see and go, wow.
And what would they ask for? Would a regular conventional doctor do this?
The merging of, you know, the whole naturopathic and medical field is happening. So, yes, I mean there are doctors that do it. There are specifically naturopathic doctors, especially in the States, that you know, allow those doctors to do that. Which I know the state of Arizona has been very supportive in that manner. So there's a lot of doctors in that state that do live cell blood work.
Okay.
Yeah, and and you'll never forget it. I mean, it's one of those things when you see it, you'll just be absolutely amazed. And if you have somebody, you know, like a naturopathic doctor that's explaining it in detail, I mean, it's truly, truly a very, very educational thing.
Well, I've had a couple of calls this week. One man actually called me yesterday when he heard that I was having you on my show, and they just found out last week that he's got a lung cancer. What would somebody like that do with enzymes? Because personally, I think that's kind of the key to everything. It's the bottom line when you start looking at it.
Right.
How would he take them? What kind of supplements or minerals would he need to take with it? What kind of dosage? And again, people understand here that we're just giving you information.
Right.
So how what's a dosage when you say a lot of them earlier? What does that mean?
Well, okay, so a couple of things. I mean, first, as far as one of the things that's why when you do go to these clinics, they get you off cooked processed foods, because that being a major contributor to, I mean, it's let's put it this way. Let's say you have an army of white blood cells. You have 10,000 white blood cells.
Mm-hmm.
You're eating cooked processed foods every day. That stuff's being dumped into the bloodstream. Let's say 8,000 of those are running around and trying to clean that mess up every time you eat.
Mm-hmm.
And you eat every couple of hours. So it's an ongoing use of, you know, the majority of your immune system is doing that. So if you can stop that and stop that food or those foreign invaders entering the bloodstream, suddenly you've got, you know, you've got a full force. You've got 10,000, you know, white blood cells that can be used to, you know, do other things. So that's the main reason why they put you on a raw food diet, is to alleviate that. So that's the first and foremost thing that I would recommend anybody who's dealing with any kind of serious illness or disease is limit the amount of cooked processed food you eat. And if you do eat those, then take very good digestive enzymes with it, so that the body will assist the body in breaking that down, so you don't have that stuff entering into the bloodstream. So that's kind of a foundation piece that I would use and recommend for anybody. And then secondly, as far as especially with the lung cancer, I mean, we mentioned earlier that there are specific enzymes, proteolytic enzymes, that act on and do specific things. So one of those is natokinase. So natokinase is a fairly recent enzyme that's been introduced into the marketplace, and has gained incredible popularity in a very, very short period of time. And again, the enzyme was created and discovered in Japan. And this enzyme specifically, it came from, like, if you have a heart attack or stroke and go to any major hospital within a short period of time after having that, they'll give you a shot of urokinase or streptokinase, and those are like very high dose enzymes that they inject right into your bloodstream.
Mm-hmm.
Those enzymes travel through your bloodstream, and in 5 minutes they dissolve all blood clots, and you walk out of the hospital without any side effects, without even knowing that you had a heart attack or stroke.
Well, that's amazing.
So it saves about 500,000 lives a year right now. Now, the only downside to that is that, you know, you have to be in a life-threatening situation, and those shots only last 5 minutes, and they're incredibly expensive.
Does it make any difference if you take it intravenously or if you take supplements?
No, that's why with nattokinase, they kind of, went back to the drawing board. So nattokinase, when you take it orally in a capsule form, will do the very same thing that urokinase and streptokinase do. In fact, in some ways, it's even more effective in preventing blood clots. So, and again, there's a specific dose. You'd mentioned dosages and quantities.
Mm-hmm.
So all the studies that were done on nattokinase, they were done on 2,000 units.
Now, must you take vitamin C or lysine or anything like that with these things?
That's not necessary. Those could be additional things that you could do, on top of this. But, as far as once you understand, what enzymes do, there are a few things that in regards to enzymes, you'd mentioned cofactors,
mm-hmm.
or coenzymes. Now, all of your vitamins, all of your minerals, all those are considered coenzymes. They don't function without the presence of an enzyme. Now, and enzymes do need small trace amounts of minerals.
What kind of minerals?
It's kind of a lock and key. Well,
I'm just asking that so if somebody's got a pen and paper and they're listening to you, they'll know what to write down and go and look at.
Well, there are some companies and some philosophies out there that just stick with the main ones, calcium, magnesium, manganese, and zinc. And I go, those are all incredibly important as far as enzyme functions, but an enzyme, if that's all you put in there, that's not going to work. You want what they will refer to as a trace mineral. So it could be like an ionic trace mineral that has 70 plus, like a full spectrum of minerals,
mm-hmm.
in it in very, very, very small, minute quantities, rather than having large amounts of calcium and magnesium.
Mm-hmm.
Those are going to help. But enzymes don't need a whole lot. It's a very small, minute quantity that just has to be present when the enzymes are there. So a lot of the formulating and products that we put together for other companies, we make sure that those cofactors or coenzymes or the trace minerals are present with the enzymes, so they're actually already in the capsule.
Okay.
So it makes a lot of sense. So when you take it, everything that's needed to get the full, what they call catalytic or the full effect of the enzyme is already in the capsule. So when you take it, boom, it can go to work immediately.
The other day when we were talking, I told you I'd ran across some research that said if you took lysine, vitamin C, and I can't remember what kind of enzyme it was now, but enzymes mixed the three of those together, that it would actually stop the metastases of melanoma. Were you able to think about that any?
Well, and again, it kind of goes back to the characteristics. Because I'm sure it would be a proteolytic enzyme that they were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So,
how would that stop a metastasis? I don't think it cured it, but it stopped it from going anywhere from reading that research. How would that happen?
Well,
And another question would be, that particular kind was talking about melanoma. Would that same treatment work for other kinds of metastases, like a lung cancer or a breast cancer, or do you know?
Yeah, if we look at, kind of going inside the bloodstream now. So, we were talking about the white blood cells that are little Pac-Men that go around and digest and eat foreign invaders. So the other thing that once those specific enzymes get into the bloodstream, I'm just going to give you another example. There's an enzyme called Z-Pros. So Z-Pros, and this kind of deals more directly with what you were talking about, the gentleman with lung cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So this particular enzyme, and again, it's a proteolytic enzyme, and it deals more with you know, anything to do with mucus and the respiratory system. So it
mm-hmm.
could be anything from pulmonary emphysema to, you know, pulmonary tuberculosis, asthma, bronchitis, you know, anything of that nature that is dealing with the lungs. I go, it's able to break down whatever congestion or mucus that's in that part of the body, loosen it up, or they refer to it as lessening the viscosity of it. So it basically will loosen it up so the body can get rid of it, right?
So when I asked you earlier if enzymes were specific, that's kind of what I was talking about.
Yeah, these are
would one particular one, you know, target, say, fibroids in the uterus or blood clots or plaque in your arteries?
Right. So we talked about natokinase. So natokinase will dissolve blood clots.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So it lowers the viscosity of your blood, so it makes your blood thinner. So then you know, that does a couple of things. It increases your circulation. And it keeps things flowing. With C-Pros, I mean, that's very specific to mucus and the respiratory system. So, and like I said, I mean, those are two examples. Another example would be, you had mentioned this before, was the serratiopeptidase or seropeptase.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, that has worked with getting rid of scar tissue. You know,
by the way, you sent me that. Remember I told you that I had a hernia repair, an inguinal
yes.
hernia repair, and I think scar tissue had built up and I was getting pain when I would move my legs.
Right.
And it worked. I don't have pain. I didn't take but 1 month supply and it worked.
Right. So and I suppose that's why, I mean, one of the reasons why, I mean I love enzymes. I mean, for one, And we'll kind of touch on this too, like the clinics in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
We were down there doing some of this blood work and seeing what they do down there, and the fact that, I mean, they'll give doses anywhere between, let's say, 60 to 120 capsules of proteolytic enzymes daily.
Really?
Now that could be, I mean, for the average product here in America, I mean, that's 1 to 2 bottles of enzymes a day.
Now, how much good would that do? I mean, what kind of thing would they be treating, and how long would it take to treat it?
Well, I mean, again, aside from the fact that I go, enzymes have no toxicity, no harmful side effects. I mean, there's no such thing as an overdose, so that's one of the reasons why they can prescribe or give, you know, those kind of doses to people, because they know that there's nothing negative that's going to happen to them. So that's the one beautiful thing. And the other side of it is the fact that enzymes are instantaneous. Similar to your experience, like once enzymes are introduced into the body, and all the cofactors or coenzymes are present, I mean, boom! It's like the light switch turns on and they go to work. It's like you don't have to wait a day or a week or whatever. I mean, they start working immediately. So there's instantaneous action. Now, depending on how far out of balance the body is, I mean, it could take, you know, a day, it could take a week, or it could take a month, or it could take, you know,
mm-hmm.
months before the body kind of brings that back into some kind of a balance. So, and with the high doses of enzymes like that, I mean, it's simply cleaning up all the... Because if you look at over the lifespan of a human being, it's like one of the things that we do is we eat constantly. That's one thing we do from the time we're born to the time we die. And if we're eating, you know, cooked, processed foods, this stuff is leaving trace amounts. The body has to, you know, get rid of it somehow. That's why when you really look at like the live cell blood work, you can look at, you know, the formation of plaque.
Mm-hmm.
You can look at the formation of uric acid crystals as a result of, you know, of protein digestion. You could look at cholesterol crystals. I mean, you could look at the fact of yeast, you know, bacteria, you know, fungal forms. I mean, there's just all of these different things the body has to deal with in some way, shape, or form. So over, you know, long periods of time, you know, there's usually built up excess amounts of that these enzymes, and that's why one of the things that we recommend, and also with these clinics down there, is that they not only give you large amounts of enzymes, but, I mean, as far as you know, drinking large quantities of water and then just detoxing the body. It's like the body goes into a cleansing mode, right, where you're just, the enzymes are, because once enzymes enter in to the bloodstream, they start breaking things down. It's like it's you're stirring up the soup, so to speak. All the stuff that's at the bottom is going to start coming back up, and you'll see that in the blood. So it's like if you drink lots of water, you're going to see a lot of that stuff that's been broken down and sitting there will be excreted, you know, through the kidneys and through your urine.
What is the difference between, or is there a difference between enzymes and probiotics?
Yes, very, very definite difference. I mean, a lot of the bacteria or probiotics produce enzymes, so that's why if you have sufficient quantities of probiotics in your intestinal tract, the small and large intestine, they'll actually produce and they'll help, supply the body a certain number of enzymes to do certain things, right? I mean, that's they have all the other functions. I mean, probiotic bacteria are responsible for, they'll fight off any kind of pathogen. So if you eat something that has E. coli or salmonella or something in it, and it enters into that part of the body, I go, if you have sufficient good bacteria, it's gonna keep those in check and basically, have them go out, straight on through the system and on out the other end, rather than finding a home there and proliferating and then you getting, sick, ill, and or dying as a result of that.
So what is, what would, I'm going to think how to word this question here. Would the source of the enzyme, whether it was a plant enzyme or an animal enzyme, a pancreas enzyme, or a pineapple enzyme, what difference is there with those? Why would you use one over the other? Or would you?
Well, if you look back, I mean, some of the first enzymes that were discovered were more animal-based enzymes, So those were very, very popular for a number of years, and most medical doctors use those because they were simply, they've been around for so long that they've been kind of tried and proven.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until the 1980s that you started to see what they called fermented enzymes enter into the marketplace, especially here in America. And those have all but replaced going from, it kind of switched from maybe 90% animal to 10%, plant. Now it's just the opposite. So anytime you go into a health food store or go to a medical doctor or a naturopathic doctor, I go, 9 out of 10 enzymes are now from a plant fermented source.
Is one better than the other? Does it matter?
Well, again, I mean, it could be a combination of them. Any enzyme is going to be better than no enzyme. So and a lot of it gets down into, enzymes are very specific in we talked about heat destroying mm-hmm. enzymes. But the other factor that limits enzyme activity is the pH. So if you look at each enzyme has a specific pH profile, which tells it that it's basically a light switch, that it'll go on at this point and then turn off at this point. So if you look at your plant-based or fermented enzymes, they have a much wider pH range, which means that they might go from 4 to 10. And if you look inside the human body, I go, that covers most of the pH ranges that you're going to find. There are a few exceptions, but it's going to do most of its work in that range, where if you look at a lot of the animal-based enzymes, they only work, like, let's say, in a pH above 7 or, between 3 and 5.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they're much more limited. So, I mean, they're still excellent. They'll still produce the result. They may take longer, or you might have to combine them with, the plant-fermented enzymes to get the result. But definitely, as far as just the fact that, I mean, a lot of people, too, want to steer away from animal-based enzymes for a number of different reasons, So it's just...
Which would be what?
Well, I mean, if you look at, all the... Well, it's the vegan, vegetarian thing, for one. And two, it's also the fact that I go, mad cow disease, you've got all these different things.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. Would that carry through in an animal's enzymes?
You don't know. I'm saying it potentially could. I mean, as far as if something went wrong or they didn't do something right, then sure. I mean, that could end up in there. So there's that potential. I mean, has that happened?
Mm-hmm.
No. I mean, likely of that happening very low, but again, it's like, why risk it? So people are just saying, well, geez, why don't I just go with, and plant-based enzymes are now, mm-hmm. I mean, cost-effective. I mean, the cost of them has come down to a point that they're absolutely the best thing on the market. They're also the least expensive thing on the market. So, I mean, it's kind of a win-win in that sense.
I've been reading a little bit lately about something called maitake defraction and AHCC, which are mushroom derivatives,
okay.
And that they cause your killer cells to dramatically increase. Is that because of enzymes, or what would do you know about that?
Right. I mean, any time I hear of things like that, I go, I mean, one, I mean, as long as whatever the mushroom that is, let's say it's it hasn't been heated, it's still active, right? It's still raw in its raw state, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
the way it's processed. I mean,
well, it's actually been this tincture. I was talking to this health food store woman the other day, and she insisted on this man who had cancer get this maitake defraction, that it worked better than anything else for kicking in the immune system. So I started researching it, and the only thing that I could really find was that it was because of the enzyme base that it had. So why would that particular enzyme be so profound with killer cells? Is it because they're specific, or because it's concentration, or what would it be?
No, I mean, again, it goes back to, I mean, all the research that's done, has been done on cancer and things of that nature, but I go, it's simply any proteolytic enzyme is going to do that, right?
Okay.
So, especially from a plant source like that, so as long as it hasn't been heated or altered, I go, the enzymes are what's going to be doing the work. And like I talked about, that was just one of the, mentioned earlier about the macrophages, those are just the ones that swim around and engulf and digest things. But, yeah, they talk about your T cells, your B cells, your killer cells. I mean, enzymes are going to activate all of those.
Okay. Now, if somebody was trying to do a rigid cancer therapy with enzymes, say, but their pH was way off, would it still work?
Well, I mean, that's where, you know, because enzymes are in some sense, they're a cleanser and a detoxifier. So that's why if like these clinics, I mean, they'll get you off all the food that's going to take your body into the acidic, you know, range.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as eating raw foods and juicing and doing all those types of things, I mean, it's going to have a two-prong effect. I mean, you're going to get more nutrients and more out of the food that you're eating. Your body's going to absorb more and utilize more of that. And it's also going to be like with the chlorophylls and all the different things in these deep, dark greens and things of that nature. It's going to act as a blood purifier, blood cleanser, and that's going to follow all the way through on, you know, your intestinal tract and everything. So they're going to try to pull, the object is to pull as much, you know, acidity and toxicity out of the body while at the same time pumping in as much nutrition and life, you know, enzymes, probiotics,
mm-hmm.
on the other side of it.
Right. Now, I know I keep harping this question on you, but I want to get it clear in my head because it's kind of complicated to me as well. When you and I were talking about that scar tissue that I had, and let's just assume that it's scar tissue or plaque of the arteries, something like that.
Okay.
You suggested one kind of enzyme, and then you said, you know what, we have this other new enzyme that works a lot better. So, again, if somebody has plaque in their arteries, how do they know which one of those to take? How do you decide which one? Why did you decide to give me one over the other?
Well, let's see. There's I mean, there's a couple different thoughts, right? I mean, that are happening out in the industry. Mm-hmm. One is kind of the more specialized thing, where you have one enzyme in per bottle, right? Like, so for the C-Pros, for anybody mm-hmm. that's dealing with lung, respiratory, you know, sinus issues,
okay,
you take that product. I mean, if you're dealing with want to increase circulation, make sure that you have, you know, hereditary problems with strokes or heart attacks in your family, you know, you want to dissolve blood clots, and or it could even be the fact that I go, you know, with natokinase, I mean, that's used on long distance flights. So if you're flying long distances, I mean, you know, 10 hours plus and you're sitting on a plane, I go, that's where the whole deep venous thrombosis, where people get up and get off the flight and then they keel over dead, you know, a couple hours later because of a blood clot. So, I mean, anybody who does and flies frequently long distance, I mean, that is, I mean, I would make that mandatory that people take that. So, I mean, that's very specific.
And what would a reasonable dosage be for an airline flight?
Again, just, I mean,
cause a handful, four or five?
Well, no, I mean, it depends on the formulation, but I mean, as long as it has 2,000 units, some people put that in one or two or three capsules, so that's all you'd have to take is one or two or three capsules, and that enzyme is going to stay in your bloodstream for anywhere from 8 to 12 hours.
Okay.
So that's all, I mean, you know, and if your flight was longer, maybe you'd have to take a second dose, but I go, that's, you know, very specific to that. Now, on the other side of it, I mean, besides these single enzymes, there are blends of enzymes that will kind of do, you know, like multi-purpose type, where you could actually combine. And some of these you do have to be careful because it's like putting together, like, I don't know, maybe, I don't know what would be a good example, but you put, you know, five different of anything together. I go, you know, like animals, right? They're going to start eating each other, right?
And that was my next question.
So you have to be careful because, I mean, and especially...
Like what kind would you need to not mix? You know as well as I do, there is limited information out there, so I can't help but pick your brain for everything I can think of.
Yeah, and so, I mean that's why there is an advantage to going with single enzymes, because you know that that's what it's going to go after. There's nothing that's going to be, you know, acting on it or impeding its full activity. And some of the blends, I mean... you know, there's like a particular product has three different types of you know, like bromelain, papain, you know, trypsin, chymotrypsin. I mean, that's, or pancreatin is the other one. You know, that's been around for many, many years and probably has more studies and research behind it more than any other enzyme. You know, so that's a combination that's known to be compatible and work, you know, well together. And usually when you talk to the manufacturers that produce enzymes, they'll give you a list and a breakdown of things. Like with natokinase, they'll tell you, here are the things you can take it with and here are the things that you can't take it with, right?
Can you give us any examples? Because I would imagine the one that thins your blood, you have to be really careful if you're taking blood thinners or aspirins.
Right. So, I mean, that enzyme is has a lot of research and studies behind it, including human trials, and the fact that a lot of doctors are replacing, you know, Coumadin with natokinase just because of the fact that, I go, there are no side effects and it keeps the blood thin. So I go, if, you know, you could ask your doctor about that and it would be a lot more cost effective and a lot safer for you. So, yeah, but I mean, if you are taking a blood thinner and you do take this, then yeah, that's definitely something that you'd want to, you know, talk to or discuss with your doctor before you, you know, proceeded with that.
Can you think of any other medications that would conflict with enzymes? So I don't want everybody just running out to the store taking bottles of enzymes and, you know, dropping dead for...
No, I mean, because most of the other, if you look at what enzymes do, because enzymes speed things up and they break things down. It's really the simplest, you know, the only two things that they do. So if you were to take... And here's what ends up happening. Let's say that someone has diabetes and they're taking, you know, 100, you know, units of insulin. I go, they start taking enzymes. I mean, suddenly, you know, they probably should check in and see, because enzymes are going to break that down, like they're going to break food down, and they're going to make it more bioavailable for the body, so the body's going to be able to absorb and utilize more of whatever that is. So what ends up happening is that they may have to cut their dosage back to 50 milligrams.
Now, that would be great for all these side effects, these laboratories, pharmaceuticals.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's going to be true of any medication. So, I mean, it's even like food. I go, you know, you can eat less food because you're getting more out of the food that you're eating. So
interesting.
Same thing is true with any kind of prescription drug. I mean, that you'd want to check in and recheck your dosage amounts just because of how effective, you know, the enzymes are going to be at delivering that into your body.
Will that also include, like, antibiotics that would make them more valuable?
Yeah, I mean, there are studies...
If you have to take them?
Yeah, I mean, there's studies that show proteolytic enzymes increase T tissue permeability for antibiotics, which means that, you know, the antibiotics are going to be more effective.
That's really great.
Yeah. So I mean, yeah, amazing, amazing stuff. So,
well, tell us if somebody goes to your site, which is Enzymology. Is it Enzymology Inc.? What is
the site
exactly?
Well, the company is Enzymology Research Center, Inc., but as far as the website, and that's, in fact, it's not up right now, but it's called ercenzymes.com. So it's just abbreviated, ercenzymes.com.
Mm-hmm. And for their just the general kind of things that we've been talking about, typical, you know, cancers or plaque on the arteries, would you recommend a specific thing from your company?
Well, I mean, we don't have anything, like I mentioned, we're an enzyme supplier, so we supply enzymes to a number of, you know, like bulk, you know, big canisters to, you know, large quantities of bulk enzymes.
So they can't buy from you.
I mean, and then the other thing that we do is we actually produce products and put other people's labels on it and sell it. So, I mean, that's probably 95% of what we do. Now, there are companies that we work with that we'll refer people to that we go, okay, we like this company and we like that company because mm-hmm. of the enzymes they put together and the formulations.
Oh, I see. So you don't put them together?
We put them together, but we don't have we don't have our own name on any product.
Okay.
Right? So that's why it's kind of a third-party thing. We're kind of the people behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
So, like you'll see different things in health food stores from, you know, they might have, you know, 5 or 10 different companies that are sitting, you know, choices when you go into a health food store for digestive enzymes. I go, you know, we might produce 6 of those for them.
Oh, okay.
Right, so we're kind of behind the scenes. We just stay back here and do all the research and the sourcing and putting all the products together and then let them go out and market them.
How would enzymes affect fatigue? I would imagine it could help that a lot.
Fatigue?
Uh-huh.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, again, I think if you look at the amount of energy that the body expends just on digesting food, I mean, without enzymes, right? If you add enzymes into that equation, I'm just talking digestive enzymes. And I mean, and I think someone mentioned, some scientist talked about like 70, like over your lifespan, 70% of your energy that you've been given is spent on digesting food.
That's
amazing. Oh, my God, that's enormous.
Even think about all the work my body has to do.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of wasted energy as far as I'm concerned. So I go, if you can lessen that by taking digestive enzymes and proteolytic enzymes, I go, whoa, I mean, suddenly you're going to have an enormous amount of energy. And from an athletic or an athlete's point of view, I go, that's what they're looking for,
mm-hmm.
right? They want that cutting edge and whatever, that thing that's going to get them, you know, to produce their result faster.
Would it also help keep your colon clean and help keep polyps down? If your food's digested better, it seems like it would.
Those are going to deal more with the, you know, we talked a little bit about the probiotics.
Uh-huh.
The probiotics are primarily going to be, their primary function is to keep the intestinal tract, i.e. the small and large intestine, you know, healthy, right,
mm-hmm.
and limit those things. So that's their main job and function. So enzymes play a smaller, minor role in that as far as, you know, they'll help break things down and move things through and keep things from accumulating in that part of the body. But, you know, generally speaking, I would recommend a probiotic for that.
Okay. What about liver damage that goes on from addiction problem, you know, alcohol and other addictions, and also through pharmaceuticals? Does it help in that in any way?
Yeah, I mean, if here's another. We never. Maybe I should go back to this real quick, but you know that the enzyme pyramid.
Mm-hmm.
So that bottom portion of the enzyme pyramid are the food enzymes. Those are the things that we take in our daily diet.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some research and papers say that, you know, 95% of what we eat is cooked and or processed. So in essence, we've done away with that lower portion of the pyramid. Now, if you go one step up on the pyramid, those are called digestive enzymes, and those are produced by the human body, specifically your pancreas. and your pancreas, and this is Dr. Edward Howell did all the research on this earlier in the last century, but saying that you have a limited enzyme potential, which means that your pancreas is only going to be able to produce so many enzymes over your lifespan. Now, if suddenly we don't take in, you know, food with enzymes in it, then I go, we're relying 100% on our pancreas to produce those enzymes to break down this food that we're eating.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a couple things happen. The pancreas will double in its size. If you look at the average autopsy on an American, the pancreas is twice its normal size.
Is that because it's damaged or because it's working too hard?
It's stressed. I mean, whenever you work a muscle, right, it gets bigger. Uh-huh. So that's what's happening. But also it's stressing it out to the point that I go, the other thing that the pancreas is going to do is it's going to hamper or impede its ability to regulate blood sugars through the production of insulin. Right, so that's why we look at diabetes and all the blood sugar issues in this country today. It's because of the diet and most of that. I mean, like they talked about, 80 to 90% of the whole insulin thing can be resolved through diet and lifestyle, which will basically means, you know, eating healthier and taking enzymes, right, to relieve the stress off the pancreas.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly things come back into some type of a balance. So that's one part of it. So, and the other part of it is the fact that I go, you asked about what symptoms. So what happens is once the pancreas starts getting, you know, near its end, or the potential of enzymes are being used up, you're gonna start to see. And this also happens with age. As we get older, the body produces less enzymes, so we're gonna see gas, bloating, indigestion, heartburn. All of those things increase, right? You're not going to be able to eat the foods you used to eat. I mean, you're going to have more and more complications and problems with eating foods. So what ends up happening once those digestive enzymes are used up, exhausted, like your pancreas is simply not going to produce anymore,
mm-hmm.
do we stop eating cooked processed foods? No. We're still going to eat. So the last and highest block on the pyramid, the third tier, are metabolic enzymes, and metabolic enzymes are the enzymes that perform all the functions in your liver, your kidneys, you know.
Now, will that be those same natinokinases and serrapeptase and
no.
that?
No. I mean, I'm going to get to that in just 1 second because this
we
is
got
the most
4
important.
Minutes.
So with that top metabolic enzymes, I go, once we start or use up all our potential as far as digestive enzymes, you're going to start dipping into, and your body has to steal enzymes from somewhere to digest that food.
Mm-hmm.
So it starts stealing it from the liver, it starts stealing it from your lungs, your brain, your heart, and all of a sudden you start to see dysfunction in those organs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And from there, it's not, you know, too shortly that disease shows up and disorder and death as a result. I mean, like they talked about, once your enzymes are used up, life is over, you know, the game is over.
Mm-hmm.
So going back to, and this is a couple of theories or principles, the fact that I go, if you can supplement with digestive enzymes, supplement with proteolytic enzymes, increase your intake of raw foods, those enzymes can be utilized by the body to create, you know, more digestive enzymes for the pancreas. They can be used to create more metabolic enzymes, right? There's the ability of your body to use those or transform those at some level.
Okay.
Right, so that you can bring your body back into some kind of balance. I mean, if you've gone too far, then I go, there's probably a point of no return. But I go, I mean enzymes have helped millions of people. You know, I mean, come back from things that they for sure thought they would never come back from.
Yeah, I've seen people come out of my friends. She has an institute called Living Foods Institute. There have been people that come in her, many people, as a matter of fact, that have 2 weeks to live. 6 weeks to live.
Right.
And they've completely recovered by doing these raw foods. Now, I have one more question. We've got 2 minutes. Does genetically modified foods make any difference about with enzymes when it comes to enzymes? Does being genetically modified change the enzyme structures? Or do you know?
It has to do with, I mean, as far as the enzymes are still going to act on and break down whatever that is. Now,
I mean, if you eat genetically modified foods, will it still give you the quality of enzymes that you need, or does it change the enzyme, the ability of the enzyme? Does that make any sense?
Well, I mean, you could look at that from a couple different perspectives. I mean, as far as if, let's say, you ate some genetically modified corn, I go, if your body's own enzymes, right, broke, obviously you cooked it before you ate it, so your body's enzymes digest and break that down, I go, the enzymes will still act on and break that down into its smaller components. Now, whether your body's going to recognize, right, that genetically modified, ingredients, so to speak, and be able to utilize those, that's questionable, right?
Yeah, we're
worried
about
that. it would be like a foreign substance in the body that would create like a it would treat it as a poison, right?
Yeah, you were talking about we'd only have one more minute. You were talking earlier about charges in enzymes, and I think from what I understand, genetically modified foods have an extra electron, which would possibly mess up that charge.
Right,
or the binding ability of it anyway.
Right.
Anyway, you got 1 minute to say whatever you want to say.
Well, again, going back to the definition of what an enzyme is, it's the energy, right? Some people call it the prana or the life force. I mean, it really is life. So I go, you take that out of any organism, I go, it's dead. So, I mean, just simply from that perspective alone, I mean, the more enzymes that you can pump into your body, the healthier that you're going to be. And it also keeps things in balance so that if something does come at you, any kind of sickness or disease, I go, the amount of energy that you have and contain inside of your body to fight that off is going to be much better off. I mean, there is nothing else. I mean, there's no drug, there's no vitamin, there's no mineral. Nothing else is going to do that. The only thing that's going to do that is an enzyme. So I go, you know, if you have to spend your money or put your money into one thing, put it into enzymes, and you will not ever regret it.
Troy, thanks a million for coming on tonight.
Yeah, and I feel
ask
like
you about 3,000 more questions.
Yeah, we're gonna have to do something else because I feel, you know, about a 2/3 of what I was gonna talk about we didn't even get to.
Well, I'll call you tomorrow. I stay booked up way in advance. I'm booking July right now, but I'll call you tomorrow and we'll get you a day.
Okay, that sounds great.
If you'd like.
Yes.
I'd love to have you back.
Perfect.
Thanks a lot.
All right,
good night.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.